charge here. That's what the rules are.
Welcome to Walkers and Talkers, episode 198. We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
And we've taken weeks off, so it's really been much longer. I'm David Brody from Elvis Duran The Morning Show, in case you're new to our podcast, and that's Jamie from Light FM in New York. We are big fans of The Walking Dead, as I'm sure you are as well. And for those of you who have not just joined us, we've got some huge news. You may have seen it on social media, although some of our most fervent listeners have not commented. Some of you have, so I'm wondering if some of you just haven't seen the socials. But there are pictures on our Twitter accounts and our Instagram accounts and Walkers underscore Talkers Instagram.
Yeah.
Of our Walkers and Talkers podcast shirt.
Woo, we have merch. It's happened.
We talked about it. By the way, last week's episode, if you listened to it, I'm not sure Jamie did. I said at the taping, at the time of this taping, the shirt should be up at brooklynboys.bigcartel, C-A-R-T-E-L, brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. That's brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. Within the week. And a day later, Jamie texts me and says, I don't see it up on the site.
I was so excited. I was like, where is it? I don't see it.
Right. She apparently was, as you know, Jamie, she's on the podcast, but doesn't necessarily listen to the podcast.
I just got overexcited.
Did get overexcited. But now they're available. So we are taking pre-orders. So go ahead and pre-order. And then once we get a certain amount ordered, as I explained, we'll start printing.
Yay. Okay. I'm so excited.
Good. So again, that website, brooklynboys.bigcartel.com. Check out the shirt. It's black with a, I think it's a gray.
Yeah, like the ringer neck shirt.
The ringer. It's a ringer tee.
Yes, I love it.
So I'm excited. I already placed an order for two and for me and one for you. And we'll see when they arrive.
My sister ordered one and my mom's going to order one tonight.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they want to support us.
Very nice. Now, you guys didn't hear it. Because the magic of editing. A minute ago, I said, hold on, Jamie. And I stepped away from the microphone and I came back and I gave you the website again, right? It's called a pickup. I picked up and gave you the website again. The reason I paused is that I had a bug bite from my backyard on my leg. And as I started the podcast, I was scratching it because it was itching. And I scratched it too much. And all of a sudden, I had blood running down my leg.
Oh, no.
As if I was bitten by a walker.
So I, appropriate.
You know, I guess having the, you know, bleeding during a Walking Dead podcast is as authentic as you can get. The only thing I didn't do was supply the blood for the red in our logo for the t-shirts.
Yeah.
back when it used to be a fad for like rock stars to use their blood for different things. So the rock band Kiss had a comic book and the rumor was that they all gave their blood to put into the mix of the red dye.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, who knows if it's true. But that was always like, oh, this band did this with their blood. This band did that with their blood. But I would just, it's just on my leg. It's not, if you're hoping to buy my blood in a
not
shirt.
Not in the shirt.
That would be a lot extra. A lot extra. So sorry about that. Okay. So Jamie, we're going to talk about Out of the Ashes, which is episode 5. But apparently you've already started episode 6.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I did. I'm almost done. I have about 15 more minutes.
Now, did you figure out the AMC Plus AMC Premiere thing? Obviously, because you have it.
I have it. My issue is Talking Dead is never available for me right away. I always have to wait. And then a couple of days later, sometimes it's still not there.
Okay, can I tell you why that is?
Why? I forget now. I know you told me.
Okay, everybody, all you listeners, you guys know, right? You know why it's not available early, right?
Oh, well, because it's live.
There you go.
Yeah, but wait. I know that. Wait, hold on.
Wasn't it like 877 dead live?
I know that. But then on Monday, when I go back to my app, it's not there yet.
Okay, that's a different story. Well, you mean the previous
that's
night?
That's what I mean. Sorry, that's what I mean. Yeah.
It should be there. It's on Premiere and Plus from what I remember. I don't know.
It used to be there, and only in the last 2 weeks it's been having issues. And I'm like, where is it? And so I don't know what's going on.
Well, why don't you hit up their customer service and ask?
I should just tweet at Hardwick.
No, yeah, right. Or just, you know, AMC Plus has a Twitter account. Why don't you search the AMC Plus and Talking Dead, or search Talking Dead and not on the app or some combination of words.
Okay, actually, that's
it's somebody else has tweeted about it, I'm sure.
Okay.
All right. So let's get back to Out of the Ashes, episode 5. Starts off with Aaron and Gracie walking through the woods alone at night, which I thought was weird. Something already didn't seem right.
Yeah.
They're surrounded by a walker, then a wolf, a guy with a gun who I'm assuming is supposed to be a savior, and then a whisperer. So I thought, okay, this is definitely a nightmare.
Yeah, definitely a dream, yeah.
Right. I mean, when I call it a dream, that's fine. I'm calling it a nightmare.
When I saw the W carved into his head, I was like, whoa, throwback.
Because you see him first, like, there's a wolf in the middle of the woods.
That's what I thought. I was like, tell me they're freaking back. I was like, what is happening?
So right away, I was like, eh, it's a nightmare. So then more whisperers join in, and they all start stabbing him to death. And then he wakes up. Did you notice right before he woke up, for a split second, Robert Patrick, the guy that that had he and Father Gabriel locked up, that Gabriel clubbed over the head, spoiler.
Yep.
That guy was in his nightmare as well.
Yeah, that was the last guy.
Okay, so now we're in Alexandria. Jerry's taking a pee, and he looks out the window of the bathroom and sees a walker inside Alexandria. So we get to hear Jerry pee. How exciting is that?
He looks good, too.
He did. All of the adults run outside with weapons, like Code Red, Walker Breach. And there's one guy laying there having his guts eaten by a walker.
Oh, my God.
Now, I understand it's there for effect. And as Jerry walks by, he takes the head off, the top of the head off the walker with a sword. Okay?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Whoever that guy was, the walkers didn't sneak up on him in the dark. How did one walker overtake him, kill him, and start eating his stomach all in the time before, like in Jerry's, you know what I mean? How does that happen? And of course, they'll never mention him. Nobody's going to miss him. He's not somebody's husband or father. Or son. He's just some guy who's dead.
Rando.
A rando who doesn't know how to handle himself with one walker.
That's true.
All right. Part of the fence has fallen down, and it takes 10 of them to push it back up. In that process, one of them almost gets Aaron, but they don't. Right? They kill that walker.
Yeah.
So it was like, we fixed it. That all happens before the credits. Now, after the credits, it's a propaganda video starring Lance Hornsby, director of operations. It looked like it was filmed in the 80s.
It did.
It was 80s editing, like screen wipes and flying diamond shapes. I learned that back in the day in high school, a long time ago.
Flying diamond shapes.
It looked like it was the 80s, which means, I mean, the only technology that survived in the apocalypse was old technology?
I guess. I don't know.
So the old equipment survived, but the new equipment, where it would look decent, didn't. But it made it look like that was filmed 40 years ago. Anyway, it was really cheesy, and it showed people shopping and kids playing games, eating ice cream, promoting community caregiving and security.
Yep.
The banner, the slogan for Commonwealth, in case you missed it, was fight the dead, save the living.
Yes.
Hopefully, they actually want to save the living, because they make it seem like they only want to save some of the living.
Yeah. What was your last job?
And then it said, this message approved by Pamela Milton, who, as we've mentioned before, is the person who runs Commonwealth.
Yes.
But if she dies, how do they change the video? Like, how do you change the ending? The shitty editing with tape and scissors and...
splicing.
So the four people at the Commonwealth, Eugene, Yumiko, Princess, and Ezekiel, are in an office setting, and they're handed an envelope with job assignments and living arrangements. This is your job. This is where you're going to live. And Eugene says, we are not here for jobs or permanent residence. And there's some male secretary who gave him the envelopes, and they're talking in front of him, which I thought was weird.
I know. I thought, you idiot. You just got in, shutty.
Right. You're talking about, this is not our plan. We don't want to stay here.
Now they're going to know you're lying for sure.
Right. Well, it gets worse for him later. We'll talk about that. Eugene is going to be a substitute teacher and a warden. Ezekiel's in charge of animals because he worked at the circus, right? Princess is going to be in retail. We find out later she loved working at the mall. And Yumiko is invited to speak to someone about a position by the Office of State Affairs.
Mm.
Now, when Eugene complains to the guy, he says, take it up with your with the supervisor, with your case manager. And they get nowhere. Yumiko goes up to the guy after they leave and says, I need your help. And he says, take it up with case manager. And she says, I don't have a case manager. I got this letter. And when he sees it, he gets all like, oh, how can I help you?
Yeah. He's like, how may I help you, madam?
So whatever she's going to do, and if you read the comics, and I told you she takes Michonne's storyline,
yes.
we know big things are in store for her. Big things.
Big things.
Okay. Cut to Alexandria. They have no supplies, and I don't know if you caught this, the horses are almost all gone.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just the one, it was all four of them. Like, wouldn't it make sense to keep a horse to ride and look for more food?
I would.
Seems like Pennywise and 600-pound Foolish.
Pennywise.
So they decide to go to Hilltop to see if there's any blacksmith tools left over there. Because you remember Alden was a blacksmith. And
yes.
Okay. Negan and Maggie are out in the woods killing walkers. Negan suggests the only way it's going to work between us is if we trust each other, which I think he's already said five times.
Yeah.
Maggie says, why would I ever trust you? And Negan says, because we both want to stay alive. And she says, if I stay alive, it'll be despite you, not because of you. Ooh.
Ooh.
Negan says, oh, shit, I don't understand why you haven't put me down yet. And Maggie throws a knife right at his head. Luckily for her, I guess, he ducks, and it kills the walker behind him. It was one of those, I'm not trying to kill you, but if I did, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
I think it scared the shit out of him a little bit.
That would have been an exciting scene had it not been in the trailer for this week's episode.
That trailer guy.
Thanks, trailer guy. You suck. Aaron, Jerry, Carol, and Lydia. By the way, good thing Lydia went with them on this mission, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Coincidentally, they brought the young girl on the mission to Hilltop. They get to Hilltop. Everything's burnt. There's burnt walkers walking around. And one of them laying on the ground is a walker named Troy, who was a member of, I think, the Kingdom? Or he's wearing armor.
He looked like a Kingdom member, yeah.
I don't remember him, but they remembered him, so maybe it was someone who we saw in passing once. They start killing all the walkers, and if you notice, Jerry started tearing up. Like, Hilltop was gone. And he wasn't really a Hilltopper. He was Kingdom, and then he was Alexandria, wasn't he?
It's still, like, in an umbrella statement. They're all their people.
Yeah.
It's just sad.
They're all people. Now, this scene, I think we talked about. Judith is teaching all the kids how to use a wooden sword to kill walkers. She and Gracie see a couple of young boys and a girl standing by a small opening in the Alexandria fence where walkers' heads are, and they're putting their hands near one of them as if to, like, try to bite me, try to bite me. As we learned, that's Jeffrey Dean Morgan and his wife's kid, Gus.
Yes.
In the walker outfit.
So cute.
Right. Judy yells at them. She says, cut it out. I'm going to tell Rosita. And the kid pushes her to the ground and
really
says,
hard, by the way.
No wonder your mom abandoned you. And Judith says, what did you say? And the guy says, you're such a baby. She probably left because of all your whining. And Judith pulls out a knife, puts it to his neck and says, say it again. I dare you. And Gracie gets her to stop. I don't think she would have killed the kid. I mean, she's not going to kill
him.
Like, I would have called her bluff. No. Like, what are you going to do? Stab me? Fuck out of here.
Yeah. He looked pretty scared though.
Explicit. I just cursed. Negan and Maggie arrive in the middle of a small town. They find the house that has all the supplies that Georgie, that Georgie left them.
Oh, yes, Georgie.
Georgie, who looked like Pamela. Negan tells Maggie they need a plan, and we need to decide when we're going to leave, and she says, we're going to wait, and he says, we don't know if they're coming, if there's anyone else alive, we need a plan. She says, we have a community to feed, and he says, you have to know when to cut your losses. And Maggie says, those losses are my people. And Negan says, yes, but you have other people. You have Herschel. And she says, don't you think I know that? I'm Maggie Ree. Don't you think I know that? Negan says, let's wait until sundown and make a decision. Now, why would you leave at sundown? Except to, like, cover of darkness? But the Reapers found them in the dark.
Yeah, hello. I feel like they thrive in the dark, and that's scary as shit.
And then there's walkers to deal with. So why would you wait till...
Yeah.
And by the way, Alden's dying in the church, slowly.
Yeah.
While they're sitting around. They're not helping him in any way. What's the plan? To go back to Alexandria? And then, like, a week later, come back for him?
Oh, I know. Right. He'll be dead, beyond dead. He has no food, no water.
Beyond dead. World beyond dead. No, world, God forbid, that show's terrible. All right. Commonwealth, Yumiko walks into a full-blown bakery with cupcakes and music playing and cakes on the back walls.
Man, it looked delicious in there.
It did. Her brother Tommy comes out of the back holding a cake, and when he sees her, he drops it.
Yep.
Back at Hilltop, we see another herd of walkers, and Lydia points out they're walking in a circle like they're being led by someone, and Aaron says, it's Whispers! And they charge to attack them.
Oh, my God.
That's when I said to myself again, good thing Lydia's with the group. It seemed odd you would attack the walkers, because if there's whisperers in the group, then you could end up like Jesus, where they stab you don't expect it. By the way,
exactly.
Jesus is dead. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
This one's not rising, in case you're like, what Jesus are you talking about?
Oh, God. Yeah. Tom Payne.
Tom Payne. Anyway, they kill a bunch of walkers, and the whisperer is standing off to the side. He wasn't even in the pack going in a circle. He was just standing there. What was he, like, remote controlling them?
I don't know how he did it.
So they knock his ass to the ground, take his mask off. Lydia says, don't kill him. I know him. And of course you know him. You were part of the same group.
Yeah.
Oh, I know him. Cut to Alexandria. Eugene's at an ice cream truck getting ice cream cones with fake Stephanie. That's what I'm calling her from now on. When a woman comes up to get an order for Pamela Milton of about a dozen cones. And you know who that was?
Real Stephanie.
That was real Stephanie. That was real Stephanie. And he says, is that Rocky Road? Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Did they not talk about their favorite ice cream flavors on the radio?
Yeah, they did. And that's the thing. Like, the fake Stephanie, wouldn't he realize by now, oh, wait, that's not her voice.
And he wouldn't have said something like, hey, remember that conversation we had? Like, how is he not suspicious?
Do you remember I Love Rocky Road? Yeah,
by the way, a great Weird Al Yankovic parody.
Rocky Road?
No, I Love Rocky Road to I Love Rock and Roll.
Oh, yes, I do remember that song.
Come on now.
I had that album, I think.
Anyway, the woman doesn't speak and walks away, but she looks back like, huh?
And she had glasses on.
Now, we have to assume she's in on it. She has to know they made a fake Stephanie.
Well, yeah, of course.
Unless Mercer knew who the real Stephanie was and had to put glasses on and didn't tell real Stephanie.
That's sick.
But that was real Stephanie. Spoiler. Yeah. Sorry. You guys already Stephanie. Knew that.
Yeah, you guys knew that.
Eugene is walking with Stephanie, fake Stephanie, FS. Walking with FS. And he says, boy, there's a lot of things to like about this place. My friends, I know a lot of people back home who would appreciate things like this. And he asks Stephanie advice on cutting through red tape. Mm-hmm. Like, how would I get my friends here? So, something to that effect. Yeah. You just admitted to FS that you do have people back home.
Oh my God.
And you lied.
Because he thinks he's real talking to real Stephanie.
Right, but you don't know
he
you can trust real...
He thinks he's talking to RS.
Right, thank you. For a smart man, you'd think he'd notice the voice was different, even though it was over the radio. And then he'd ask us some kind of questions.
Like, remember that time we blah, blah, blah?
Right. Where's that place you told me about? Where, you know, who's that guy you mentioned?
Yeah.
Nothing. Anyway, he sees a radio tower on top of a building. And she says, if you want to talk to your people, we can go. And she says, I work in the communications department. I can get access in a couple of weeks. With that, Ezekiel and Princess show up and say they were told it'll be 5 weeks before they can speak to a supervisor.
And the manager.
Eugene says to Stephanie, if it's an unofficial, is there an unofficial way they can use the radio? And she's like, yeah, I think so. And they head off. Mercer's watching this from a distance and he looks pissed because he must know already. Right.
Oh,
or I doubt she's mic'd up. I don't think they have that technology.
No.
Back in Alexandria, Judith walks into her house and the handprints from the board are broken from the Carl handprints.
The little handprints on the porch.
This is where this bothered me, the next scene. Gracie says, I'll help you fix it. And Herschel says, and RJ says, I will too. And Herschel's like, I will too. I'll help you put it back. And it was like a Disney Channel show. We'll do it together. And the mouse ears come out. Like, it was like friendship. Da-da-da.
Well, they're kids. Oh.
But it was just like, we'll all help. We'll all pitch in. We love each other. It was like Teletubbies. It was just, that scene was just so fakey, cheesy.
Oh.
Anyway, Rosita shows up to Judith sitting on the steps. And Judith is, you know, pretty broken up. Rosita says, I remember when you and Carl made those handprints. And she says, but he's gone. Everybody's gone. And she starts crying. And she says, I'm worried about forgetting about them. You know, if they're gone for too long.
Yeah.
And Rosita tells her a story about how her mother died and they raised her to be strong. Just like Carl and your father did the same for you. And so they bond. They do the bonding thing. Which means Rosita's going to die soon.
Oh, God.
Well, hey, listen. She's long outlived her comic book character. Yeah, I know. Well, listen, she died pregnant in the comics. Spoiler.
Oh, that's sad.
They killed her and put her on a pike when she was pregnant. Aaron and Jerry are interrogating the Whisperer back at Hilltop and ask him his name. And Jerry says, don't give us any of that alpha beta garbage. That was hilarious.
I laughed at that out loud.
Like, don't tell me you're Delta.
Yeah.
He says, my name's Keith and I'm the last of the rest of them. They either burned or dispersed. He said, Alpha died and we broke up once she died. And Aaron said, but first of all, why would Aaron believe them? Because they stayed together, some of them, when Beta attacked the hospital, right? The school building, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was a hospital in one episode. It was a school in another. Aaron says he doesn't believe him. I've never met a Whisperer who told the truth. And Lydia reminds him that he trusted and believed in Mary. You know, Mary's dead, by the way.
Oh, Mary, spoiler.
Lydia says he wasn't one of Alpha's inner circles. He was terrified of her. And then he says, I remember I used to sneak you food during the winter. Remember I was nice to you? And we already know, by the way, because the episode description was there's squatters at Hilltop, that he's not alone.
Yep.
Thanks, episode description people.
Episode descriptor guy.
They go down. Now they go downstairs to put him in the cell, which coincidentally is where the other people are living. Of all the places.
I know. You would think like they would be not in the basement.
I guess it didn't burn because it was made of like concrete.
True.
So I guess that's why they were down there. Anyway, they're cowering on the floor and Aaron knows the guy lied to him.
Oh my God.
But he lied to him not because they were villains that could, you know, that part of his army. They were just people at that point.
Yeah.
Lydia's trying to keep them protected and saying, look, they're trying to be people again. Leave them alone. And Jerry finds a cloth on the wall that belonged to his wife. He says, that was in Alexandria. These people must have been in Alexandria.
That was creepy.
Yeah. And these people are the ones that burned down Hilltop. And Carol says, what do you want to do? While they're waiting to figure out what to do, this guy, big mistake, pulls out a knife and swings it at Aaron. And while they're fighting, the four people run up the stairs and no one goes after them.
God, I know. I was screaming. I was like, what the hell? They're letting them all go.
They didn't jump into a car.
No.
They were regular running upstairs.
On foot.
Aaron takes the knife. And he beats Keith up. And he says to the Keith, okay, now it's my turn. And I'm like, the guy's just protecting his friends. Like, I don't think he was. I wouldn't have pulled the knife. Like, you're not going to kill all three of them. So, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to kill Carol and Lydia and Jerry, all four of them.
No.
So what you should have done was, here's a knife. I could have used it. I'm going to give you the knife to show you that I'm a good guy.
Yeah.
Right? But he didn't do that. I thought that was a big mistake. Back to Alexandria. FS takes the three of them into the building, which was a train station at one point. You like that. Armed guards are all over the place. FS and Eugene go upstairs by themselves. At that point, did you think, like, if he reaches out to Alexandria on the radio, he's blown his cover, right?
Yeah,
me too. I'm you've only been there a day. I know you think this is Stephanie, but you're already breaking the rules and calling Alexandria when you don't want anyone to know you have people.
And then you said in front of the guy, you know, oh, this is not going to be our permanent resident
residency. Right. We're not staying. And he's like, whatever.
God, after he just got interrogated and he went through processing.
Yeah, went through processing. Exactly. I don't know. Up next is a very interesting and foreshadowing scene between Miko and her brother Tommy, which we will break down right after this.
Hey, this is Cooper Andrews, Jerry from The Walking Dead, and you are listening to Walkers and Talkers with David Brody and Jamie.
Okay. So Yumiko, I'm going to call her Yumiko, even though he calls her Miko. Yumiko okay. And Tommy are sitting at a little, like, cafe table, right? I guess
bizarre.
Outside the bakery.
Yeah.
And he tells her how he went from Chicago. So they're from Chicago, and somehow they both ended up in the East. I don't think we know exactly where the Commonwealth is, somewhere near Pittsburgh, I guess, or outside of Pittsburgh.
They're a long way from home.
So he went from Chicago to the Pittsburgh area, and she went all the way to Alec. Well, we don't know where she went, all over the place. Eventually ended up in Alexandria, Virginia. And then back in Pittsburgh where he was. I mean, the odds are astronomical. Astronomical.
Higher than that.
Infinite.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Now we're hotter.
He says he's been there so long he forgets what the outside world is like, which tells me he can't defend himself, which reminded me of the people in Alexandria who were behind the walls since the beginning and just like the idiots in World Beyond. they didn't, they, like, I don't think he knows how to, like, handle himself.
Oh, no. If he had a walker come near him, he would die.
He says he's enjoying life baking cakes. And she says, but you're a surgeon. You could be saving people. And he gets her to shut up fast and looks around to make sure nobody heard. He must have lied about his previous occupation.
Yeah.
Because they would have forced him to be a doctor.
Oh, 100%.
So it's interesting he wouldn't have said he was a doctor, so he doesn't want to be a doctor anymore. I would imagine they'd be pissed. Or take away his bakery, right?
Oh, they'd be furious.
He says, please don't ruin this for me. I've never been this happy. And she says, of course I wouldn't. But Jamie, we already know. She told the interrogators, my brother, Tommy, is a thoracic surgeon.
She did. Oh, my God.
She already blew it. She didn't even look into the camera like, you guys know I already fucked up, right?
Oh, God. This is not going
to
go well.
Now, he could say, like, I was going to school for it to be a thoracic surgeon. And yeah, the like, last I saw completed. Her, she yeah. thought, but even then, they'll think he knows enough.
Oh, my God.
He'd be like, yeah, I became a baker once I left. We're not close. So she says, is this as good a place as it looks? Is everything is, you know, and he says, it's better. And she says, would I be able to get help for people if I ask? And he says, as long as you follow the rules. So I'm thinking, he loves his life so much, right? He said to her at one point, when was the last time you ever saw me this happy? He said, I don't think I've ever seen this happy.
Yeah.
I'm predicting, I don't know anything. I'm predicting that he's going to have to make a decision between her and saving his own the life he's built. And it's going to be one of those, I'm sorry, I can't help you, you know, like, and turn on her.
It sounds like he's going to choose the bakery and his happiness over her.
He's made that clear.
Yeah.
I mean, he wrote a note. He was looking for her. But it,
yeah.
He sounds like he's going to choose his own happiness. That's my prediction.
It wasn't this desperate reunion, like, oh my God, I've missed you. Where have you been? And like, I was worried and, you know, it was just kind of cash.
Yeah, that's my prediction. It's going to come down to he's going to choose himself over her. Yep.
Yep. I agree.
Princess is looking out the front door of the train station and she's standing guard. She sees Mercer and his men approaching. So she does her best to stall. She says, you look good. You must have a gym here. And then she thanks him for the $2 bill back, which she asked for.
Yeah.
Even though they're not supposed to have extra money. And then he's like, I got to go. And she says, you know, you have really nice eyelashes.
His face was so funny. He's like,
yeah,
he's what?
Like, I wasn't sure if that was like, I know you're bullshitting me, you're stalling me, or I don't know how to take that compliment.
I think it was a combo job, which they kind of go into on Talking Dead, but...
Okay, because I didn't finish watching Talking Dead.
Oh, okay.
Normally I watch it right away, but I didn't have a chance. All right, back to Hilltop. Aaron has a walker on, a leash or like a spike through him, like a pitchfork.
Oh, you know what it was? It was, it looked like antlers.
Oh, okay.
Like a spike. They use it almost like a pitchfork.
Yeah, like a pitchfork right through it. And he's holding it back.
Yeah.
And he's threatening to let it go if tied up Keith, tied by his hands, doesn't spill his guts, so to speak, and tell Aaron what he knows about whether or not there's other whisperers around. He lets the walker get close and it rips Keith's clothing.
Oh my God.
So at that point, I'm thinking, oh, that old game. Okay. He's not really going to do anything. He's going to scare him and then the guy's going to cry and fess up. He begs Lydia to help him. He says, Alpha was right about you people. You think you're better than the dead, but the dead is honest. And he says, your friends are better off. Now, I don't know if he meant the Pike friends.
Oh, God.
Right? The dead ones are better off being dead because the dead are better than humans. But this guy's hanging out with four other humans.
That's true.
So let's not pretend like Alpha was right. That's really, you're being tortured. You really want to go with Alpha was right and I'm glad your friends are dead? That's like
the worst thing you could say, you idiot.
That's right up there with I don't want to die like a dog like Glenn did.
Oh, my God. That was so bad.
So with that stupid phrase, commentary, Aaron lets the walker bite Keith's fingers off.
Ew, you could see the skin ripping off.
Oh, terrible.
God. Oh, my God.
He says to him, the clock is ticking. And if you want me to cut your hand off to save you before the infection spreads, you need to tell me where the other whisperers are. And if they're a threat. He says he doesn't know, and Aaron still doesn't believe him. And Lydia walks away disgusted. Oh. Aaron wants to take the walker to go at him again, even though he's lost his fingers. And Carol shoots the walker in the head with an arrow. Aaron went crazy at this point.
Yeah.
He's yelling at her like, what'd you do? And she says, I stopped you from doing something else you're going to regret. And he says, look around you. They destroyed all of this. And Gracie is going hungry because of them. I don't know how hungry Gracie is. She looks fine. She's been eating horse.
I know. They've been having horse jerky.
I know they can't. I know they can't make everybody lose weight and get thin for a TV show. But none of them look thin.
No.
Certainly Jerry hasn't lost an ounce. I'm not sure how you fat in the apocalypse.
Nice and healthy.
Yeah. Carol says after Henry was killed, she let her go down a road or a path that was bad. And it's a path that he doesn't want to go down. She begs him to let Keith go. Aaron drops the knife and tells him he can cut the hand off himself or he'll do it for him. And then we don't see who cuts his hand off, but someone cut his hand off
Yeah, he's a little stumped there.
Rosita and Judith happen to be in the radio room. Coincidence bullshit?
Yeah, what are the odds that someone was all the way up there?
Right.
Hmm.
When Eugene calls and says they are safe and he asks how they're doing.
Oh my God.
And you forget how long he's been gone. Rosita says the war's over. Alpha and Beta are dead.
Seriously.
And Alexandria is trashed and we're running out of food. I'm like, oh my God, they left.
Months ago.
Middle of last season? Right? So it's been a while.
A long time ago.
Then the signal breaks up. Cut to Eugene and FS in the radio room. Mercer and his men bust in. They arrest Eugene for the unauthorized use of government property.
Oh, God.
They look over at Stephanie. They don't arrest FS. And at that point, I'm like, of course not, because she's in on it. I would have thought they would have arrested her for, like, appearances, right? Make it look like she got arrested.
Make it look like. I would have been like, well, what about her?
Right. They should have arrested her so that, you know, because I think later they said she was being handled differently because she's a citizen of the community.
Yes, they did say
that. They did say that.
She's a citizen.
Okay. Up next, we're going to talk about a scene that got a lot of talk on Twitter between Maggie and Negan. I want your opinion, Jamie, and I want you guys to tweet us your opinion when we break it down, which we will do when, Jamie?
After the break.
We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Ross Marquand. I play Aaron on The Walking Dead, and you're listening to Walkers and Talkers with David, Brody, and Jamie.
Okay, Negan says he's leaving, and Maggie says the mission isn't over, and he says it is for me. She shoves him. He shoves her. They shove each other. And then they stare at each other. Did you think they were going to kiss?
It had that vibe, but I'm like, there's no freaking way that they're going to kiss.
Right.
No way.
But apparently people are now shipping them.
Yes. On Talking Dead, they Kristen, but there were other people that shipped them. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah. Twitter was blowing up with people saying, oh, I think they're going to hook up.
Yes.
Well, listen, I know it's an apocalypse and he bashed her husband's head in with a bat.
That's why your kid doesn't have a dad. They're not going to hook up.
You can't forgive a man that much that you'd sleep with him.
No, absolutely not.
He's not the most gorgeous man left on earth. JDM's a good looking man, but still. He bashed gleefully. I'm sorry, Carl's dead. Glenn's dead. Sorry. Well, Carl's dead also. Yeah. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
She's like, Maggie, I will find you.
Oh, God.
And he's like, oh, shit. You know, he was laughing at the guy. Popped his eye. Terrible.
God. Horrible.
In a scene that killed the ratings for the show for seasons to come.
Oh, my God. So that's how effective it was.
They are not hooking up because he can't make the first move. And she sure as hell isn't.
No, they're not going to make a move.
Okay, not going to make a move. With that, Elijah and Father Gabriel come in the door. Father Gabriel's in bad shape. Someone's got to explain to me how Elijah got away from the Reapers who pulled him up by his neck with a rope.
I thought that too. I'm like, what?
Did they forget him up there when they were chasing Daryl from like a mile behind?
I have no idea.
And he cut himself down? I need to see that scene.
He must have cut himself down.
But why didn't they kill him? They wanted to kill him.
Maybe they just thought he would be hung and just let him.
That seems like a personal question.
I don't know.
If he's hung, it's not my business.
Oh, God.
And is that how the Reapers let you go if you're hung?
I don't know.
She tells the two of them that Duncan, Agatha, and Cole are dead, and Alden is hurt bad, holed up in a church somewhere.
Yeah.
Father Gabriel's got to be thinking, church is no good for anybody.
Everybody dies in church.
They don't know where Daryl is, and Father Gabriel says, so we wait. Well, wouldn't you go looking for him?
How long are we waiting?
Yeah. Not sure how that's going to help Alden. He just told you the guy's dying in a church, And your thought is, well, just wait here. Maggie smiles and Negan looks like he just lost and he sits back down. Like, well, now I'm outvoted 3-1. Back at Alexandria, Eugene, Princess, and Ezekiel were arrested and called before some kind of magistrate who reads them the crimes. They've been granted a hearing before a judge within the hour. I have not seen the next episode, although I don't think this takes place in the next episode. I'm going to guess the judge or the lawyer will already be Yumiko.
Yeah, I thought the same exact thing. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Right. They demand to speak to a lawyer. They say they have a lawyer. They have a right to see a lawyer. And they say, you're an asylum seeker, not a citizen. You don't have the right for a lawyer. Mm. So at that point, Lance Hornsby walks in with fake Stephanie. And he says, let them go. And they say, we're not letting them go. He says, well, don't move them. I'm going to go find Mercer. So did Yumiko get to Lance Hornsby?
Somebody did, because how would he know about them? And why would he let them go?
Or did she meet with Pamela? Like, so in other words, was Yumiko's meeting with someone on the executive board panel or whatever it was? Was that Lance as part of it? And when we met Yumiko, he figures, you know what? We better not screw with these people. They're friends of hers.
Oh, that very well could be.
Right. Actually. And they value her tremendously already.
Already.
Yeah. Ezekiel says, hey, wait a minute. Wasn't that? And Princess says, the cheesy guy from the video? Yes.
I love her character.
Fake Stephanie says Hornsby can be trusted, even though fake Stephanie can't. And he can save them from being banished, but they will still have to pay for what they've done. In other words, you could stay here, but you have to like do hard time or go to jail or do grunt work or something like that.
I would have been like, what about you, FS? You were in on this.
Yeah, FS. Back at Hilltop, Lydia is helping Keith, who has no left hand now. Carol gives him some mushrooms for him and the others and he says, we weren't all bad. Some of us just wanted to survive. Lydia says, never look back, which I don't know if that means don't be a whisperer again. Like, don't go back to that life.
Yeah.
Did you have an idea what she was referring to?
On Talking Dead, she talked about everyone move forward. There's nothing left for them there. Just don't look back. Like, keep going. Go far away.
Okay. Very good. He says to the group, as they're all leaving on the cart, he says, you don't believe we've changed. I can prove it. And Jerry says, how? And he says, we saw one of your people come out of the cave where Alpha kept the hoard, meaning Connie.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Finally.
He says, we saw her by the screaming cave. And Lydia says, oh, that's not far from Alexandria. I know where that is. Good thing she was with this group on the mission. Jerry says, well, it's a good thing we didn't kill him then.
Oh, my God. Valuable information.
Scenes for next week. Connie and Virgil are running into a house. This is the episode that looks like a horror movie.
Let me tell you, you will need oxygen. I'm telling you, this is a very intense and scary episode.
Okay.
Yes.
Good. Kelly's talking to Magna about Connie's notes, saying something's not right. Things aren't adding up. Yeah, because I'm pretty sure Magna left her to die.
Yeah.
Magna did not escape on good terms. She did something wrong.
She didn't help her.
She did something wrong, right? Okay.
Yep.
The Reapers and Leah, without masks, are sneaking up on a house. The house where Maggie and the other three are. They enter the safe house. The survivors are all hiding in the basement.
Yep.
Leah says to Daryl, you're either with us or you're not. Meaning he must have said, like, hey, leave these people alone. Something like that. He must have said something.
I know what he said.
Oh, why, is that scene in next week?
Yeah.
Oh, right, because it's the scenes for next week. Duh.
Yes.
Duh. I should listen to the podcast. I really should. Someone's in a chair, tied to a chair, being tortured. And Pope is watching Daryl stand over him. This must be Daryl's initiation or test. And it's the other guy from Maggie's party that was talking to him from his cell.
When Daryl's like, yeah, I don't know you, dude.
Yeah, ixnay, shut up. Right. So Daryl is beating him up because we see him bloodied and swollen, right?
Yeah.
So how does this guy take a beating and not save himself by saying, hey, Daryl was one of us?
You would think he would.
I guess he figures if I say that, we're both dead.
True. Very true. Because the guy definitely caught the hint last episode. He's like, yeah, whatever, man.
But how do you take a beating like that? You're going to get beaten to death.
I know. He was almost dead. He was beaten so bad.
I mean, how are they not going to kill him anyway? Connie looks through some hole in the wall and some creepy eyes are looking back at her. And I'm assuming that's part of the horror you were talking about, the creepy stuff.
Yes. Okay. And it gets worse.
All right. Okay. Talking Dead, Clark Wolf from the Walking Dead Universe Twitch account, Cassidy McClincy, who plays Lydia, and Ross
Marquand.
Again, I didn't watch the whole thing. I'm going to watch it. If there's anything major, I'll talk about it on next episode. The one thing I did find interesting at the very beginning, they put up a poll. Did Aaron go too far interrogating that whisperer? Hmm. What did you think? Did you think he went too far?
I did not think he went too far. I think they needed to know what the fuck was up, part of my language. And he did the right thing because he had to get them to talk. He had to. He had to show them who's boss.
But wouldn't they have talked when you threatened to, like, Walker biting you wasn't enough? Like,
well,
and the fact that he bit his fingers off, he still didn't talk?
Well,
wouldn't you?
Eventually, you would, I would talk. My God, I would talk. I'd be singing like a canary before it bit me.
Exactly. So 38% said he went too far. 62% said no. I think, well, look, the Whisperers, the leadership of the Whisperers were pieces of crap.
Yes.
But, you know, not all of the saviors were crap. I mean, no, most of them probably were. By the way, speaking of the saviors, I have to bring this up. I don't know if I mentioned it previously. Maybe I have. If you look at the saviors that were in the woods when the lineup happened, it was all giant biker types with beards and rugged, like Hell's Angels, the toughest looking guys on the planet. But once the show started showing saviors, it was all normal people like Davey the Rapist. You know, it was Alden. What happened to the hordes of biker dudes?
I don't know where they are.
Something happened. The saviors all got skinny and scrawny.
That is so true.
All right. I'm going to go watch Talking Dead. Reminder, please check out the picture, brooklynboys.bigcartel.com or on our Instagram accounts at David Brody, at The Talking Jamie, at walkers_talkers. And, yes. You know, order one if you want. You know,
please order one.
But we appreciate you listening to the podcast.
Thank you.
Whether you represent and wear a shirt or not, we do appreciate it. And have a wonderful week. Jamie, I'll talk to you soon. It is time, Jamie.
What time is it?
It's time to shut this shit down.
Is that okay?